Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Still in the wonderful North Georgia mountains on Lake Blue Ridge, enjoying a good vacation, some relaxing time, and enjoying being in God's Word with you. Leviticus chapter 21 today on day 172. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. Your Word is such a treasure, full of a variety of different things for us to learn, ways to see your character, ways to grow as your holy people. Would you show us yourself and grow us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Leviticus chapter 21. And the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, 'No one shall make himself unclean for the dead among his people, except for his closest relatives, his father, his mother, his son, his daughter, his brother, or his virgin sister, who is near to him because she has had no husband, for her he may make himself unclean. He shall not make himself unclean as a husband among his people, and so profane himself. They shall not make bald patches on their heads, nor shave off the edges of their beards, nor make any cuts on their body. They shall be holy to the Lord and not profane the name of their God. For they offer the Lord's food offerings, the bread of their God. Therefore they shall be holy. They shall not marry a prostitute or a woman who has been defiled, neither shall they marry a woman divorced from her husband, for the priest is holy to his God. You shall sanctify him, for he offers the bread of your God. He shall be holy to you, for I, the Lord, who sanctifies you, am holy. And the daughter of any priest, if she profanes herself by whoring, profanes her father, she shall be burned with fire. The priest who is chief among his brothers, on whose head the anointing oil is poured, and who has been consecrated to wear the garments, shall not let the hair of his head hang loose, nor tear his clothes. He shall not go into any dead bodies, nor make himself unclean, even for his father or his mother. He shall not go out of the sanctuary, lest he profane the sanctuary of his God. For the consecration of the anointing oil of his God is on him. I am the Lord. And he shall take a wife in her virginity, a widow, or a divorced woman, or a woman who has been defiled, or a prostitute. These he shall not marry. But he shall take as his wife a virgin of his own people, that he may not profane his offering among his people, his offspring among his people. For I am the Lord who sanctifies him." And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron, saying, 'None of your offspring throughout their generations who has a blemish may approach to offer the bread of his God. For no one who has a blemish shall draw near, a man blind or lame, or one who has a mutilated face or a limb too long, or a man who has an injured foot or an injured hand, or a hunchback or a dwarf, or a man with a defect in his sight, or an itching disease, or scabs, or crushed testicles. No man of the offspring of Aaron the priest who has a blemish shall come near to offer the Lord's food offerings. Since he has a blemish, he shall not come near to offer the bread of his God. He may eat the bread of his God, both of the holy and of the most holy and of the holy things, but he shall not go through the veil or approach the altar, because he has a blemish, that he may not profane my sanctuaries, for I am the Lord who sanctifies them." So Moses spoke to Aaron and to his sons and to all the people of Israel. That is Leviticus chapter 21 in the ESV. And I feel like I need to say this every once in a while. We're always using ESV.org for our on-screen text display, and so it's a great website. Recommend it. So, this is regulations for the priests. We are all priests of God in Christ, who is our high priest. But for the most part, what we read in this chapter does fall under the ceremonial aspect of the law, of what would be holy, what would be not holy, what would be clean, what would be not clean, what would be appropriate, what would not be appropriate. And so we need to understand that in the context, that we are all priests of God every believer, the universal priesthood of all believers. We are a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood. Christ is our great high priest. He is holy and undefiled, separated from sinners in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, in the presence of God forever. And that's why these regulations were given. Why is it that the high priest had to stay in the sanctuary while the oil of anointing was on him? Because Christ, when he was made the high priest for his people, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father in the heavenly sanctuary, and he is there. He stays there at God's right hand, always living to make intercession for us. So he is our holy, undefiled, separate from sinners, great high priest. It's all language from the book of Hebrews. And he sits at God's right hand, and he always lives to make intercession for us. And so this is why, the reason why the high priest had to be set apart in such a way is that Jesus has been set apart in an even greater way. Now, no one shall make himself unclean for the dead among his people. This chapter might help to explain a little bit why, in the story of the Good Samaritan, the priest sees this man who's almost dead, or half dead, really what the Greek says, half dead. Almost dead is from The Princess Bride. Half dead is from the Bible. I got to keep that straight in my head. Okay, so he's half dead, and the priest looks at him and sees him half dead, and then goes the other side of the street and walks. You could say that the priest was trying to uphold the law of Moses, but Jesus was saying the guy wasn't dead, and he should have had compassion on him. He should have been willing to make himself unclean, because there was a way that he could go through a process of becoming clean again. But that guy, if he dies, isn't going to become undead again. That brings a whole other picture in our minds. He's not going to become alive again until the day of resurrection, of course. But he needs to go and minister to that guy. So all of these things Jesus is teaching us, there's a right order, even under the Old Testament, to the order of these commandments. Like he chastised the scribes and the Pharisees because they would tithe the mint and the dill and the cumin. They would be very meticulous about every herb from their garden. The tenth would go to God, and yet they would steal a widow's house if they could get it into their own possession. And they would make these false oaths by swearing by different things that they, in their mind, didn't bind them to necessarily be telling the truth. And Jesus says, come on, you're straining at gnats and you're swallowing camels. So these things, even in the Old Testament times, when these things were in full effect, there was still an order to them. And there, it's not a good excuse to say, well, I can't really help you even though you're dying, because I don't want to be made unclean. That would be violating God's law. You should have enough sense to know saving someone's life is more important than keeping yourself ceremonially clean. But God has made us holy, and we are priests, and we should be different. Now, these marriage laws, again, that's Old Testament stuff that doesn't necessarily apply in the same way. But we as Christians should be mindful of being honorably married, right? We should not be scandalous in our marriage life, right? And that could be by going along with the culture of easy divorcism, of just, you know, oh, we have irreconcilable differences, and so we're just going to get divorced. There's one particular case, I'm not going to say who, but there's a very, very well-known, nationally prominent pastor who several years ago got divorced from his wife. And it was on the grounds of irreconcilable differences. Basically, they weren't getting along anymore. And she said basically he was a workaholic and all he cared about was being a pastor and author, and he neglected his family. And so she divorced him. He didn't take a break from ministry. His church didn't ask him to step down. And I think that's where we can say this, like, as priests of God, as those who are called by God as a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood, we need to be above reproach. That's a New Testament term for it, above reproach. So we shouldn't be doing things like that. No Christian should be doing things like that. But I think especially those who hold that public office in that sense. Not that pastors are priests, but you understand what I'm saying, I think. And so, what's this deal about no one with a blemish shall draw near? Well, again, the idea is that God is holy, and as an external sign of that, all of the priests who actually serve in the temple tabernacle had to be whole, just like the animals had to be without blemish. Now, God is gracious. These guys are still allowed to get their living from the temple tabernacle, and they're able to eat all the things, even the most holy things. They're not cut off, they're not excluded from being an offspring of Aaron, but they're not to offer. And the reason, ultimately, the reason for that is fulfilled in Christ. Christ, our great high priest, is without blemish. He is without any fault or flaw in any aspect of his character. So this is an external picture, a shadow, a type of what was ultimately fulfilled in Christ. So in these regulations, what we should see above all, as always, is how wonderful, holy, separate, and blameless our high priest is. Let's pray. Father, thank you for such a great high priest as your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for making us holy in him and giving us a salvation that sets us apart. Help us to live as your set apart people. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Well, tomorrow, Leviticus 22 is on tap. Hope you can join us for that. Have a blessed day in the Lord. Thank you.